Well, it's a good opportunity to finish the whole book of Isaiah. And I think it's very sovereign of the Lord to prepare the conference in this way. We didn't finish it in Germany in Rothenburg, but we finish it in Fountain Valley. Yes, and this time we didn't encourage too many to travel here because too much traveling. Today we have a live stream, it's very easy. You know, you can turn on the live stream and listen to the fellowship at home. But it's also good to be here. It's hard to replace face-to-face fellowship. And, well, perhaps you'll be very surprised we're talking about the second coming of the Messiah, which definitely... Isaiah talked very much about his second coming. And no other prophet really talked about the Lord in such a wide and broad spectrum. Right. And so here Isaiah, even at the very end, talked about the new heaven and new earth. And so it is really wonderful that... we come to this section of Isaiah. But then you'll be surprised that it started out not very positive. It started out with the condition of God's people before the second coming of Christ. It's very similar to the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago when he came to this earth. Tell me, were the people worldly at that time? The Jews? Judaism at that time? It seems quite in order, right? It seems there was no problem. The high priest was there. You have the Pharisees. You have the scribes. They know the word. They know the Bible. Right? And they're doing everything according to what the law says, outwardly. Of course, it's very hard for us to see what is inside. But the Lord, he is the one who searches the reins and the hidden parts of men. Right? After all, he is the greatest physician. Right? I wouldn't know what is the condition of my internal organs unless I go to see a doctor. And they give me a scan and check me and x-rays and all of these. I was in Bangkok recently and I didn't know I have an infection right here in my gum until, they gave me an x-ray. Actually, I was just going to have my teeth clean at that time. But that was a very thorough clinic. So it's very good to be thorough. So before they even clean your teeth, they will firstly give you an x-ray of everything here. And lo and behold, they discover an infection right above this tooth here. And it's very dangerous because it's very close to the sinus there. And the doctor there says, you have to take care of it right away. Yeah. So you will never know unless you have an x-ray done. Many times we don't know what is in our heart. There's so many things hidden in our heart. Outwardly, it seems we love the Lord. We go to the meeting every Sundays, and we sing songs, and we praise, and then we go home, and it seems everything is fine and good. But we really do not know our own heart. Right? So the Lord has to expose what is within our heart. So in the Lord's first coming, everything seems to be right and good outwardly. But you remember John the Baptist when he first came? What did he say? Repent was the first word. Repent? Weren't they God's people? Repent from what? If I tell an unbeliever to repent, of course, you will understand, right? But if I tell you, my granddaughter Jasmine, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, you would ask me, repent from what? I'm a Christian. I believe in the Lord Jesus. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus? Born again? You read the Bible daily. You come to the meeting. Right? Even to the prayer meeting. And you even prayed. Everything looks okay. Do you need repentance? From what? Right. If there is no light shining within our heart, we will not know that, hey, we are not ready for the Lord's coming. Remember, we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Are you ready to appear before the judgment seat of Christ? Are you 100% okay? Who amongst us here sitting can say, I'm 100% okay? You have to give an account of your life before the Lord. And he will not be sitting there as a savior, okay? He's going to sit there as a judge. That's why it's called the judgment seat of Christ. Today he is our savior, yes. But in that day he'll be your judge. And that judgment seat is not for the unbelievers, it's for us. Paul says, we all. He's not talking about the unbelievers, he's talking about himself and us. Right? So, we have a lot of things to repent for today. Right? Living in the flesh, we are for ourselves in many ways. We still love the world. Right? And we are slothful when it comes to reading the word. And I don't understand this. I don't understand that. Forget about it. And, right? And you live yourself in many ways. Right, Kyle, how would you assess yourself? Need a lot of help. Me too. We need a lot of encouragement for one another. Right. So here, we really need to see that in the second coming of the Lord, it won't be much different than his first coming. In his first coming, Judaism was fallen. Outwardly, they did a lot of right things, right? But inwardly, it is full of corruption. Inwardly, there's a lot of trouble. And that's why if you read Matthew chapter 23, woe to you, you scribes and Pharisees. They taught other people to do this and that, and they themselves didn't do it. And the people were not any better. They turned the house of God, the Lord says, into a house of merchandise. And they're hypocrites. What is a hypocrite? Outwardly it looks very nice, but inwardly it is full of dead bones, he says. Outwardly it looks like a whitewashed sepulcher. But inwardly it's a lot of dead bones. So here, of course, I don't want to waste the time to talk about that in the first coming of the Lord, but in the second coming of the Lord, it is not any better. Let's take a quick look at the outline. Right, beginning in the last section begins in chapter 58. Verse 1, it says, "Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Give my people a wonderful message." Is that what it says there? Tell them what they like to hear. What did it say here? And
the house of Jacob their sins.
You have to expose. God must expose the transgressions and sins of his people. Right. Many times you and I may think we are all right, but inwardly there are many things that are not all right. Our heart, our mind, I don't know what you're thinking. Our eyes, I don't know what you want to watch and see. Our tongues, my, we like to criticize. We like to talk about other people. We talked and spoke a lot of idle words. Right? Your feet would like to run to places you shouldn't go. Right. Yeah. You love the world? Tell me. Who doesn't love the world? With the lips, you say, well, we even sing far, far, what? Behind me. But in our daily living, it's so close, even inside of me. We say we love the Lord. Nobody will say here, you don't love the Lord. But the Lord wants the first love, the best love. Right. Outwardly, we may do something right. But inwardly, it is something else. Let me read to you here. And this is the voice like a trumpet. So blowing the trumpet, you have to use your what? Your voice. The feast of the trumpet, right? So we all have a trumpet. Today, in every place, when you go for Sunday morning, the speaker, they always like to speak things that you like to hear. Right? My sister Grace always told me, whenever we see, I ask her, well, how about your place? What they say is terrible. Terrible. The pastor was telling his congregation, at your age, you should already have made a lot of money and then not give it to me, but spend it and take cruises and tour the world with your wife and with your family. And then he boasts how he took his wife to see the world. Right. And they already had a very big meeting hall, but they're going to build another bigger meeting hall to compete with another mega group. And then they'll even have a coffee shop down below in the meeting hall. So that after the meeting, or you can go down and buy your coffee there. Yeah. That's not very good, right? Now verse 2, what did it say here? Yet they seek me daily. Now, listen. Right? They have a lot of problems, inward problems. It's a lot of transgression, offending the Lord, saying and doing a lot of things offending the Lord. Right? And yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. How about that? Sounds good. Sounds very good. As a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. Right. Don't you read the Bible daily? You pray daily? Seemingly seeking the Lord daily? Right. It became a habit, right? Of course, you're a Christian, right? Even they ask me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. How about that? These are all the outward practices. Yeah, we even pray before we eat. Right? But after we say amen, we forget about everything else. So, and they even say, why have we fasted? They say. And you, God, you have not seen, they even blame God. Why have we afflicted our souls? That is in the Day of Atonement, one day, right? And you take no notice. Can you imagine they even blame God? But God says, in fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure. This is what God answered. God's answer to them, and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, to strike with a fist of wickedness. Oh my goodness. On one hand you're fasting, on the other hand you're fighting. Right. Meaning to say that outwardly you're doing a lot of religious activities. But then inwardly, in reality, we live a different life. Yeah. We preach this way, but we live in another way. You think God will appreciate that? Not only will He not appreciate that, He condemned it. Right? So here you have to realize that you cannot fool God. Definitely not. And you, God says, you will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Right? Who are you trying to deceive? You're trying to deceive God? Is it a fast that I have chosen? Just one day, a day of atonement, for man to afflict his soul? Well, it's very easy to do it one day, right? But what about the rest of 365 days or 64 days? Do you afflict your soul? Right? Is it just to bow down his head like a bulrush? And just to spread out sackcloth and ashes outwardly, would you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Hey, the Lord is absolutely not happy with that, what's going on. What does it tell you? We all come to the meeting on the Lord's Day. We all go there Sunday. Oh, it's Sunday, and now you put on your best clothes. Everybody looks so decent, wonderful, and nice, but just for 2 hours. After that 2 hours, you go home, you're a different person. You put on another hat. You put on a Sunday hat, and then after you go home, and you put on a golf hat. You think the Lord appreciates that? We call it Sunday morning service. What about Monday to Saturday? No more service. You think that kind of a worship for God is acceptable? Right. So the Lord says, would you call this a fast? You call that a fast. You call that Sunday morning worship. Okay? You call that this and that. Right. But never ask, what about the Lord? What would he say? Then in verse 6, the Lord told them, is this not a fast that I have chosen? Now, God tells them what kind of a fast he wanted. Right? To loose the bonds of wickedness. To undo the heavy burdens. To let the oppressed go free. In that you break every yoke. This is the fast that the Lord wants you to do. Fasting is not just fasting. Somebody asked, should we pray first or fast? Right? And the answer was, eat fast and pray. Not fast and pray, but eat fast and pray. It wasn't a very good answer, but it reflects what people really do. For them, it is just a religious activity. But God says the kind of fast that he wanted is to loose the bonds of wickedness. Stop doing what you are doing today. Change. You need a change. To undo the heavy burdens. Many times we demand others to do certain things, but you yourself don't do it. Right? And to let the oppressed go free. Break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh, meaning to say your own relatives. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. And the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. Of course, we like to say, the Lord hears the prayers. Right? God is a God who hears prayers. Yes, but there's a condition. This condition, don't think God just hear all kinds of prayers. No, there is condition. Right. If you take away the yoke from your midst and the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. If you do that, the Lord will not answer your prayer. The Lord will just stay away from you. Right? You like to point your fingers, the German fingers. We call it a German fingers, right? You always point the fingers on others. Yeah. And speaking wickedness. Don't speak nonsense. Don't speak about others. No. Right. Don't speak so much. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. And you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Praise the Lord. Right. So you can really see that it is not just the knowledge of the Bible. It is the reality of the life that is within us. It is not how much you know the Bible. You may know the Bible so well. You may be even like what it is written here. You may seek him daily. You may have your morning watch and you may read the Bible. You may read so many verses. But hey, the way you live is more important than what you do outwardly. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't seek the Lord. But you seek the Lord just to know. You just want to know better. You just want to find a method. You just want to, what do you want to do? To give a message? What are you seeking? Right. You delight to know my ways, really? Why? Why do you delight to know his ways? You want to walk in his ways? Or just want to know? And then walk differently, then it's better not to know. Yeah, at least you'll have an excuse to God when you stand before the judgment and say, I'm sorry, I didn't know your ways. But that's still not an excuse. But it's even worse if you delight to know his ways, just to know, and you don't live according and walk according to his ways, then what's the use of knowing his ways? You think the Lord will really show you? That's why each one, it says, it's written, going his own ways. Although they seem to be seeking God's ways, and then they think it is God's ways. But hey, God didn't tell them his ways because God knows they're not going to go the way he tells them. If I know that you're not going to go the way I'm telling you, I won't tell you. Why should I be telling you? Right. A nation, they look like a nation that did righteousness. There's so many things we did that are not righteous. Just outwardly, it seems they did not forsake the ordinance of their God. So, this is the condition when the Lord comes. Just like the condition of God's people at the first coming of the Lord. You need to repent. That's why there are so many churches today, but what are they doing? just to have a Sunday morning meeting, and then everybody went home and lived their own lives. That is not acceptable for God. Let us read. I put a verse here, chapter 48. Let us read chapter 48, 1 to 2. God already said it through Isaiah quite a few times. Hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel. Even their name is right. They got the right name. Okay? And have come forth from the wellsprings of Judah. Their source was even correct. Who swear by the name of the Lord and make mention of the God of Israel. But what was the trouble? You like to say it a little bit louder? But not in truth or in righteousness. Our God is a righteous God. I call myself a Christian, and yet in many things I'm not Christ-like. How about that? I call myself a believer, but I act in many ways opposite to what is written in God's Word. You think God like that? Right? We make mention of the God of Israel. Yeah? We tell people to be saved, but we ourselves are not saved in many ways. Verse 2, for they call themselves after the holy city and lean on the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. Right? So outwardly, many things are okay and seemingly okay and right. Is that good enough? Definitely not good enough. And of course, in the beginning of Isaiah, right, we even have the verse there. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 29, right? Woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt. Ariel. Add year to year, let feasts come around. What does it mean? Add year to year. Right? It means that you are just doing a routine, keeping the meetings, the feast, doing the routine thing, breaking of bread, year, week after week, singing the same songs, saying the same prayer. But no substance, no reality, it becomes a routine. This is what is happening today in many of the situations, in many places. Don't be offended. And it could very well happen to us. Right. So may the Lord save us. Amen. Whatever we do, there must be substance, there must be reality. Amen. To worship God, as the Lord says, we must worship in spirit and in reality, in truth. For God seeks such to worship him. Many of us don't even know what is the Spirit. And truth What does it mean to worship in truth? If you don't know the scriptures, it would be very difficult to understand. That means you have to bring the reality of Christ as the offering for the Father to enjoy. Because Christ says, I am the truth. The truth is not the teaching. He's not talking about the teaching, but he's the truth of all these wonderful things in the Bible. He's the bread from heaven, the real manna. The truth about manna coming down from heaven during the time of Moses is not the real manna. The Lord says, I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Your father ate the manna and died, but I am the bread that came down. If you eat me, you shall never die. He is the reality of the bread of life. He is the reality of the rock out of which water flows out during the time of Moses. Paul says, and that rock was Christ. Christ is the reality. Behold the Lamb of God. The Jews were sacrificing lamb week after week. But the Lord says, I am. He is the Lamb of God, the real Lamb of God. So he is the truth, he is the reality of all the wonderful offerings in Leviticus. So when we come to worship God, firstly, you must be in spirit, meaning to say you are in contact, truly in contact with him. Because he is spirit. And you must use your spirit to contact him, right? And then when we come together to worship him in Jerusalem, so to speak, right? Coming to the feast, we must bring Christ as the spiritual sacrifices, as the truth, the substance, the reality of the offerings. And what do? We are just coming for a routine Sunday morning service, listening to a choir, listening to a message, right? And dropping a few dollars in a box. And that's it, and you go home. Does it change your life? Does it cause you to really mature in spiritual life? Or are you the same year after year, week after week, you're the same, no change? So this is truly what's happening today, unfortunately. Right. And I hope that we are not like this. I hope for us, we want to gain more of Christ. We want to practice the truth. We want to experience the priesthood. Our relationship with Christ must grow. We must experience him in our daily life, in our daily living. Right. So let's go back to chapter 58. Yeah. O Lord, and verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, right, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, you call it honorable, and you shall honor him in not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Right. And in this chapter you can really see, right, the rebellion and sins of God's people was exposed. You know, if you speak like this, nobody wants to come to the Sunday meeting anymore. Really. I don't think we will have a lot of people. Right, so God's command to Isaiah to expose the transgression and sins of his people. We like to speak something that people like to hear, for the itching ears, like you said, right? Like you prayed. We like to speak something to entertain people. Right? We do a lot of things to attract people. But not the prophets of God. Isaiah must speak the truth to God's people, because the truth will set people free. Right? So B in the outline, they have a lot of religious practices void of reality. And you can read the verses yourself when you go home, right? But someone, maybe you can read Matthew chapter 15 to us, Mo, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, 7 to 9.
Okay. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.
Yes.
And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men."
Right. Yes. To 9, yeah. You see, the Lord even quoted Isaiah. The Lord quoted Isaiah. Right, in chapter 23, 27 to 28.
Mm-hmm. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness.
Right.
Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness."
Right. Outward, look nice. Inwardly, it is full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. May the Lord save us from this kind of a condition. So Isaiah expose a lot of this kind of conditions. Don't think today it's different. Right? And it's not just Roman Catholicism. Oh Lord, then in point C, showing his people the way of repentance. It's not that the Lord will just expose our condition, but the Lord also show us what he wants. What is the real way to worship him in truth and in reality. Right? So I hope the Lord will expose us as well. The Lord will expose us as well. Don't say, well, it's so difficult. No, it's not really difficult if we are willing. If we are willing to repent. And the Lord promised, if we change, and there's still time to change right now. If we don't change, we keep on doing what we are doing Sundays after Sundays after Sundays. People sit there in a meeting and half asleep and looking at the watch. Keep on looking at the watch. And you're sitting there in a meeting. Is that Sunday morning worship? I don't think so. Right? So may the Lord really have mercy on us. I really pray that God will open the eyes of his people. I don't think it's just we suffering, but God is suffering. And this kind of a condition is the condition before the Lord's second coming. In his first coming, it was Judaism. In the second coming, it's Christianity. Yeah. Oh Lord, in his first coming, it is the earthly Israel. In his second coming, it is the spiritual Israel. So we are not in any way different from them in the flesh. If they could become like that, we could become like this. Right. And there are so many divisions today. So many different groups, each one doing their own thing. This is the condition today. And it's hard for them to change. Because it is deeply embedded. And what the Lord really wants today for us is the substance and the reality of Christ. Not just the correct teaching. Don't think saying the right thing, the scriptural word is good enough. No. No, it's very easy. Teaching is very easy and very simple. But to have the substance, to have the reality in our daily living, that is another story. That's a different story. Right. So the Lord calls them hypocrites. What about us today? You know, the word hypocrite is just the same word as an actor. Actor. Hollywood. Yeah. It's a show, outward show. But in reality, there's nothing there. There's nothing. We shouldn't be acting. We should have the reality of Christ within us. We talk about tradition. But actually, what is tradition? Is praying a tradition? Now, Paul talks about tradition too. Paul says, you must keep the tradition that I taught you. Right? Brushing the teeth, is it a tradition? You're going to drop that? But if you just tell people, oh yeah, I brushed my teeth, but you never did, that is not good. And at the end, we will know by looking at your teeth. You will have no teeth at the very end. You will lose all your teeth. Right. No, we need the reality. The only true way that can save you from tradition is the reality. Yeah. So, this is the condition. Then let's quickly go on in chapter 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. I like that verse. Do you?
Yes.
Let's read it. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Wonderful. Well, there is a but. There is a but. If you just read verse 1, there's no problem. It seems there's a wonderful God. There's no problem. His hand is definitely not shortened that he cannot save. And his ear is definitely, his ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Not he cannot hear, but he will not hear. This is. You can pray and pray. You can have every day. You can pray every day. But whether he will hear, that is a different matter. Right. So here the Lord clearly says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Don't say, I'm saved. Don't just say, I'm already saved. Praise the Lord. I'm a Christian. The Lord will have to listen to me. Not that simple. We need to, like what the scripture says, even to hate the stain of sin within us, the defilement. But we don't have that feeling because we think, oh, yeah, well, I have forgiveness. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Ah, praise the Lord. I like to use 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 to 9. If I confess my sin, oh, he's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So whenever I did something wrong, oh, very, very easy, very simple, I take 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Even just taking that verse with such an attitude is not the right attitude. But you have no feeling against that. You don't have no hatred against sin. Right? You hate brothers, you hate this, you hate. But when you committed sin, you don't feel the hatred. Lord, I hate that. Save me. We have no feeling concerning our iniquities that separated God from me, that caused God not to hear me. Right? For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perversity. Right? These are the points concerning the Lord's coming. It's not how much you know the Bible. You may know the whole Bible. That's good. It's good to know. I'm not saying you shouldn't know. We should know. But that will not, that's not the only factor. That's one of the factors, of course. But a more important factor is the reality, the substance of Christ that is in us, and that we live him. Because God is righteous. Christ today must be our righteousness. Right. Your fingers with iniquities, your hands are defiled, and your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. If you speak the truth today, people don't like to hear it. Not just in the world, okay? Here today in the politics, they speak a lot of untruthful things. Somebody said, if you don't listen to the news, you're not informed. But if you listen to the news, you're misinformed. So what are you going to do? Are you going to listen or you're not going to listen? If you don't listen, you're not informed. But if you listen, you're misinformed. Goodness, what kind of an age are we living in today? Nobody speaks the truth anymore. And you're afraid to offend people. A pastor speaking the truth will lose his job. He gets paid. People run away, right? People run away, you get fired. Nobody likes to listen to the truth. So you have to entertain a spiritual, quote-unquote, entertainment for the people. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words. Oh, goodness. What are we going to do? Right? People trust in empty words and speak lies. Lord Jesus. Right. And conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They conceive, bring forth. You know, conception, right? Oh, Lord. And they hatch what kind of eggs?
Vipers, eggs. Vipers.
You know, when John the Baptist came, he saw the Pharisees coming to be baptized. What did he say?
Vipers.
You brood of vipers, who told you to come to be baptized? Brood of vipers? They're scribes, they're Pharisees. Some of them are chief priests and elders. They hatch viper's eggs. I've never seen one yet, and they weave the spider's web. And he who eats of their eggs, of course, dies. Spiritual death, there will be no life. It's no life. But they don't feel it anymore because they are dead. A dead man never felt that he's dead. Yeah, because he's dead. How can a person who already died know that he's dead? And from that which is crushed, what came out? A viper breaks out. You know, Isaiah is very descriptive. I love Isaiah. He really is very descriptive. It's really amazing. You may not know that a lot of people are hatching viper's eggs and weave spider's web. You know a spider's web? Why did a spider weave their webs? To catch. The prey, not P-R-A-Y, but P-R-E-Y. Right. And so many are caught in their webs. Yeah. And of course, it's not very visible. Right? Their webs will not become garments. No, you cannot cover yourself with their webs, that kind of a web. No, although it will cover you, your whole being. You walk into it, it will cover you, but not as garments. Nor will they cover themselves with their works. sooner or later it is all going to be exposed. But unfortunately, God's peoples are blind. They don't see. They believe anything and everything that the pastor says, and they don't read it themselves. Yeah. Oh Lord, right, their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are the thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their path, and the way of peace they have not known. And there is no justice in their ways, and they have made themselves crooked paths. And whoever takes that way shall not know peace. Oh, Lord Jesus. You think this is not our situation today as God's people. If you have eyes to see, and if you are really in your spirit, you can really see the situation today. Because all of these are hidden. All of these things are hidden. Satan is very, very subtle. Right? He's a professional deceiver. Outwardly, he may look wonderful, but inwardly, it is so corrupted. Just like the politics today. But it's not just in the politics. It is in religion as well. And look at Roman Catholicism, the mother Babylon, the mother of harlots, with many daughters, of course. Outwardly, it is gilded with gold, silver and precious stones, but only gilded outwardly. But inwardly, it is full of abominations, hidden. Hidden. Right. And you think it is only the mother? What about the daughters? Like father, like son. Like mother, like daughters. Yeah. In principle, it is the same. Outwardly, they're all so holy. But inwardly, they are very holy, H-O-L-E-Y, full of holes, rotten. Outwardly, they are for God. But inwardly, look at the corruption in the last decades. It's all exposed there. And it's getting more and more exposed. But my question is this, that is very obvious, or becoming very obvious. What about many of the Christian groups today? Right. Of course, we don't like to talk about it. But if you are in the Spirit and the Lord open your eyes, you will realize there's a lot of corruption involved, money involved. Right. One of the mega churches I mentioned to you already in Singapore, but it's not just in Singapore, right? With 20-some thousand members, the whole directorship was imprisoned there because of money laundering and corruption. One of the main pastors there sent his wife to an acting school in Hollywood. You know what the reason was? So that when she comes back, she can be a better evangelist. You learn how to preach from Hollywood acting school. How about that? I don't know. Who knows? Even doing a gospel video ministry, you don't need Hollywood. You know, there's a lot of devilish music there. We need Hollywood. Oh, Lord, need Hollywood. And the worst thing is also the whole directorship is imprisoned there. The congregation still believe they are innocent. And you have to believe that the Singaporean government is very strict. Eyes they haven't seen not. Exactly what Isaiah said. So true. Had Isaiah spoken, eyes they haven't seen not, ears they haven't hear not. And that was just one of the many examples. Right. We are saying this not to criticize, but we are saying it so that we can be saved from that kind of a situation. You said we're going to prepare for the Lord's coming, right? That is not the way to prepare for His coming, okay? Definitely not the right way to prepare for the Lord's coming. To have a beautiful choir and organ that costs $1 million or what, you know, and to build an even larger, more beautiful hall, and well, at the end, that Crystal Cathedral now was bought by the Roman Catholic Church. Right? The Lord is not for that, definitely. That proves that they don't know God. They don't know God. Yeah. So may the Lord open our eyes. But don't be surprised, because this will be the condition before the Lord comes back. Is that a condition like that is our situation in our time today is another sign that the day of our Lord's coming is very, very soon. Amen. Is very, very soon. Yeah. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. So here in chapter 59, 1 to 15, we put down here in the outline the appalling condition of God's people in general. An appalling condition. Yeah, their iniquities and sins obstruct the arm of God's salvation, their pernicious ways. And then point C, Isaiah's confession on behalf of God's people, Isaiah 59:9-15, right? Tomorrow we can talk about it. Tomorrow morning. Now in verse 9, this is another paragraph there. Therefore, now this is Isaiah talking. Therefore, justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in blackness. We grope for the wall like the blind. And we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as at twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. This is Isaiah's confession now. Well, someone has to speak for God's people, right? To see the situation does not mean that we condemned it and tell them and point finger at them. But today, to see today the situation is for us to pray for them. It's not to condemn or criticize, but for us to pray for God's people in the presence of God. Yeah. We must have a heart for God's people. Even within the church life, if we see something is not right, do not condemn as if you are the judge. No. If the Lord open your eyes to see the true condition or a condition, a certain condition, what is your reaction? Condemn? Pointing fingers? If you have love for Zion and for God's people, you pray in their stead, so to speak. You pray for them as if you are the one in that condition. Right. And this is Isaiah's heart. We should not just learn to condemn and expose and this and that and that and that. Right. If we do that, not very good. Right. But if we are surely before the presence of the Lord, we see, my, we are all like that. I'm not in any way different in my flesh. Right? So we need to learn in this second part from Isaiah to intercede for God's people. Just like our great heavenly high priest today, what is he doing there for you and for me, for all of us? Interceding. Or was he telling the Father, Father, look at George. I died for him. I saved him. He's born again and I helped him. And look at him. You think the Lord is like that? Although he's at least qualified to say that, right? But I'm not qualified to say that. Neither are you qualified to say that. But what else should we do? Yes. Please pray for me. Let's pray for one another. Let's bear the iniquities of God's people. This is the priesthood. The priests are supposed to bear the iniquities of God's people. Right. To feel for them. Oh, Father, save us. Have mercy on us. Right. And this is Isaiah's life. This proves that Isaiah is a real prophet. He really knows God. And he identified himself with the people. Instead of, I'm holier than thou. Right. But he identifies himself with God's people and prays for them. Right. And he didn't say, God, yeah, come destroy them. Just like Moses. Moses is considered as the meekest man on earth. And when God's people has done so much trouble and terrible thing, worshiping idols and all that, and God said, I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to Get rid of them. And I'm going to use you, Moses, to raise up a new race. Wow, if you were Moses, what would you say? Shirley, what would you say? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Right, I would say that, wouldn't you? Maybe not you. But many of us will agree. Because they are really so terrible. Right? But what did Moses say? Oh, you shouldn't do that. What would people say about you? You brought them out of Egypt and into the wilderness and destroyed them. What kind of a God are you? You will have a bad reputation. God was waiting for somebody to say that. Yeah. So today, God is waiting for us. If he shows us the true condition in this darkness, he wants us to pray for his people. All right. In chapter 60, just quickly jump to chapter 60, before the Lord comes to be glorified in Zion, right? It says in verse 2, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. This is before the Lord's coming. But his coming will be as the sun that shines, as the light that shines. Right. So before the Lord comes, don't expect things to get better. Darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. Right? Both the people in the world, and unfortunately among the believers, among God's people. So we need to pray, and we need to intercede for God's people. Right? So that point C is important, Isaiah's confession on behalf of God's people. Think about this, and we can continue in our fellowship tomorrow. Have some prayers. Yeah. Amen. Amen.